Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Get right to the romance and find the way to wow this Valentine's with 1-800-Flowers.com. From classic roses and bouquets to decadent chocolate-covered berries, gourmet treats, and more, surprise your Valentine with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, get the 18-stem Enchanted Rose Medley for $39.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
The Volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win.
Hi, everybody. It's a Sunday afternoon college football podcast. This is random, but I was so into, from Thursday on, Ohio State, Minnesota, until every college game, until Notre Dame, Florida State tonight. Now, I'm not going to cover that game in this podcast. I'm going to let the four Notre Dame football players who are now part of the Volume, they have a podcast called Inside the Garage. All-American Kyle Hamilton highlights it. Inside the Garage, it's a Notre Dame football podcast. It drops Monday. They will talk about the Irish game, 7.5-point favorites over Florida State. I do like the Irish. They're breaking in a new quarterback, but I still like them. I think what Brian Kelly has done at an academically difficult university is bring Notre Dame back into prominence. I think right now, if you take Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State out, there's an argument to be made that Notre Dame's in a class of the next three or four, including Georgia, LSU, Oklahoma, and then Notre Dame. That is a very elite class, 130 Division I programs. None of the top 10 programs have the academic standards of Notre Dame. It's a tough place to win, lousy winter weather. It's about a 90-minute drive south of Chicago, but largely considered a rural environment. Not a lot to do there. I think what Brian Kelly has done is, I'm surprised NFL teams have not come knocking. Now, he's not Sean McVay young or Lincoln Riley hip. He's an older guy. But I think Brian Kelly, you take out Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney, not a lot of coaches I'd take before in the country over Brian Kelly. I really hold him in high esteem. I think he's done a remarkable job. Little bit of a turnstile at quarterback, but they all win. So he's doing something right. Let's bring in Joel Klatt, voice of college football, Fox. You know, I did think, Joel, it was interesting yesterday. The starting quarterbacks for Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama are all California kids. And the starting quarterbacks for UCLA is from Nevada and USC is from Arizona. Part of me thinks, boy, we've let some talent leave the state. I do want to say this. I watched Bryce Young in high school. And I don't know how, I don't really care about the Sunday part of his game. He's not a big kid. But somebody told me something years ago about pro athletes. They said the great ones are easy to spot because it's so easy. The game looks easy. And I can remember watching Michael Jordan and sitting with a friend on the couch going, the league is full of 6'6 guys. They're all big with big hands and can jump. Why does he make it look so easy? Can anybody do that? And I watched Bryce Young yesterday, Joel. Just the feet and the arm. And I'm like, oh, God, it's his first game. No jitters. I was taken back by how effortless it looked.
It's so fascinating that you bring up, you know, Bryce specifically, but in a sense, Alabama, right? And this is what, you know, I've had these conversations. So my buddies, you can imagine, like the text chains, as soon as the football season start going, old teammates, you know, like other broadcasters, we're just firing away about like, well, what is it that makes Alabama the team that always comes out and it doesn't look hard for Alabama? It can't just be their talent because other teams have recruited at that level. You know, like why do they come out and make it look so easy? Is it just because of Nick Saban? And I think, you know, and you're asking more specifically about Bryce, but I think we underestimate how difficult it is to practice and win any job at Alabama. Right. So like, I bet you, Colin, well, I know this to be a fact. Saturday's game against Miami was easier for Bryce Young than winning the job. Right. Like playing his defense in spring or in camp before you're in prep mode and actually prepping for the other defense. Like what he has to play against, that's easier than playing against Miami. The pictures are cleaner against Miami. The pressure is not quite as fierce against Miami. So I think he just looks way more comfortable than a lot of the other guys that are making first starts around the country. And so you're like, well, what makes it different for a guy like Bryce Young? Well, it could be the environment that he's in, you know, and sure, there's some of it that is just him. There's no doubt. And there's other guys like that around the country. But I think we could underestimate just how difficult it is to win any starting job at Alabama. And that might be why they roll out there and they never have that flop early in the year. Can you think of, outside of the national championship game against Trevor Lawrence a couple years ago, can you think of a time when you just felt like Bama didn't show? I can't think of a time. And other programs, I feel like it happens once a year, twice a year. You know, I mean, how many times are we going to talk?
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, OU is a great example. The same thing started happening to them early last year. They were up 35-14 on Kansas State, ended up losing that ball game, you know, and they get up big on Tulane and then they just kind of like let them come back. Stuff like that doesn't happen at Alabama. And I think a lot of it is the environment that Nick creates and how difficult their practices are, the high standard by which you have to play every single day just to be a starter. And I think that bleeds into the game.
You know, I want to really zone in on UCLA's win over LSU. And I remember how disappointed Ed Orgeron was when he was overlooked at USC. And I had said at the time, I talked to a USC administrator, and they had said, we just don't know if he fits for 5 years.
Right.
I've always thought of him as an elite position coach, a good coordinator, but I don't view him as a top 10 program head coach long term, although I do think it shows the talent of Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow made a lot of people's jobs way easier at LSU. Mm-hmm. But when I watched that game, we know LSU has probably more five-star talent than UCLA. UCLA has been maybe fifth, sixth in Pac-12 recruiting so far for Chip
right.
Kelly. When you watch that game, I mean, I was really taken back. Now, UCLA, I think, had 10 seniors on defense. It's an 22, 23-year-old kids. But I was really taken back by the line of scrimmage that I thought UCLA
yeah.
consistently won. And it's not for lack of talent at LSU. They had big bodies everywhere. That's what jumped out to me. Is it the schematics of Chip? Is it the age, the returning starters? What did you make of the line of scrimmage in that game where UCLA controlled it?
Biggest difference for UCLA in years, you know, and Chip has been doing this. Now, this, you know, we talk about some guys that like, oh, they got to come in and build a program. And we all want it to happen quicker than it really can. In particular, when you're taking over a program like UCLA, at the point in which he took it over. And if quickly, he had to tear a lot of things down in order to rebuild them at UCLA. And I think you know what I'm talking about. You're close enough to Chip. You and I have had those long conversations with Chip, and I don't want to get into the details. But there were times early in his tenure there where they had 56, 57 scholarship players. And that was his choice. It wasn't sanctions. It was him kind of tearing down the program in order to rebuild it in the fashion in which he needed to and wanted to. Okay. And a lot of that was cultural, in terms of the culture he wanted to implement and build. A lot of it was the chemistry style of things, but then a lot of it also was like the style of player that he wanted and the style of team that he wanted. And now we're starting to see the fruition of that. It just goes to show you, like, if you're really going to do that and tear something down, you need two things in abundance: patience and from the administration, and then time in order to do that. And he's had it. Okay, so now we get to this point. He's built this team back to where now they do have 116 guys out there in practice, not just 78. They do have their full complement of scholarship players out there. So they're deeper. And then this is what I think is interesting, is that I was texting with some people, not only fans. I've got a neighbor who's a big UCLA fan, and also people that are around the program more closely than just a fan. And they were at the Rose Bowl. And I started getting texts yesterday on the plane coming home. And it was all the LSU people. And Colin, you know what they were all saying? They're like, oh, we didn't realize UCLA was this big. They got out there. I think they were surprised with what they saw. They thought they were coming out there to see kind of this middling Pac-12 program in a conference that doesn't have a lot of great line play, and that they were going to come out there and bully UCLA. They rolled out there for warmups and looked over there, and they were like, oh, wow. Like, this is not what we expect. I got that text from a few different people, one very close within the program. They thought, and he texted me, he was like, this is a little scary. They're real over there. Yep. And it's what you're talking about. It's not just the athletes. It was the line play. It was the size of the line. It was the physicality of the line. And you're right. They, you know, it really wasn't that close. And I thought that, in fairness to him, if Dorian Thompson-Robinson is a little more efficient, I think UCLA probably could have put up 45 or 50 points.
I feel the same way.
Right? Yeah. And because it wasn't that close, right? Like, UCLA was going to win that game 8 out of 10 times. They were the better team. They were more physical. They were more dominant.
You know, this is a little in the weeds, but I follow recruiting. UCLA's best two recruits this past year were defensive linemen. Then they stole Jay Toya from USC, who was their best interior recruit, defensive lineman. So UCLA got three elite recruits all in the same space that Pac-12 teams struggle with, interior defensive line. So again, that's a little in the weeds, but you know, I'll throw this at you too.
But it's also not though, right? Like, why has Utah won the Pac-12 South two of the last 3 years? They play great defensively, you know, on the defensive front. Yes, they're big and they're physical up there. And it's a big reason why I think they're going to be successful again this year.
You know, it's interesting talking about the transfer portal. Chip's gotten the bag a couple of times from NFL teams, so he's got plenty of money. You know, you can see him on his bike in Manhattan Beach. He's living the good life, right? And I think, and this is not a criticism of him. Some coaches, I don't know if he feels a kinship to high school recruiting. I don't think he loves it. But the transfer portal is different. You get more mature players. It's more of administrative than recruiting. Can we get them in, right? And a lot of these players that leave Southern California because SC and UCLA are down, they go to the South. They go to another program, the Big Ten. And they're like, I don't like it here. And they circle back and reach out back to SC and UCLA. He got six transfer portal players. And I think five started. And I saw UCLA basketball do this where they lost a great player to Kentucky. The kid's like, I'm not into this. I miss my friends, goes back. The transfer portal, I liken it to a much higher end junior college without the whiffs, because you know the guys can play.
Sure.
And I do think I will be honest.
And you don't have academic issues a lot of time either.
Joel, I looked at those UCLA transfers and I'm like, oh, they've made it, the running backs. That's the difference in that program. So I don't want to get over my skis here, but I think, you know, Chip's a little contrarian as a personality. He is not.
It's true.
He is. And I kind of think he needs patience. And I think it's going to work for him.
Okay. So I don't think it's just Chip. You're talking about the transfer portal. People are using this really well. And one of the things that all the coaches that I talk with, you know, getting ready, and we did those two games, and Ohio State doesn't really have to deal with the transfer portal
right,
because they're, you know, it's more so their leftovers are where everyone else goes,
right
to grab people. But all these other programs, you know, Minnesota had Niles Pickney. He was a captain for Clemson. He comes in, he's a defensive tackle at Minnesota. Another Clemson kid, Chez Mullins, was the running back for Wisconsin in my game. He came out there, ran for over 100 yards. Arthur Ebikadi, the defensive end from Temple, he transfers to Penn State. He was a force yesterday,
yes,
and was a big reason why they were able to win that game. That's just in the games I did. You know, say you're talking more about like a Zach Charbonnet who comes into UCLA and is kind of clearly giving them a huge pop at the running back position. The word that keeps coming up from coaches, and I can really relate to this, and I'll tell you why in a moment, is that these players come in with purpose. And it's a purpose and a sense of urgency that maybe isn't there for a freshman. Because the freshman has just been told for 3 years how great he is, and they come in somewhat entitled, and there's not as much of a sense of urgency and a purpose there, okay? They're not up against it as far as graduation. They're not up against it as far as like, hey, 1 year until I'm draft eligible. So they don't know what they don't know when they're young, right? That doesn't mean they can't be talented. But when you get a guy in the transfer portal, he's usually got a tremendous amount of purpose. He knows exactly where he wants to go. He puts himself into the right fit in terms of system and coaching staff. And he's going to come there and he has a mission to accomplish. So to your point, I think people are using it really well. Chip's going to be able to use it very well. And I think, you know, a guy like Charbonnet is a great example of that, because it's just not quite working at Michigan, decides to come home, you know, what is it, 20 miles from his high school, you know, he's playing in the Rose Bowl, which is 15 miles from where he played high school football. And he's more comfortable and he's playing like it, and he's more purposeful and he's playing like it.
The NFL is back, baby, and FanDuel Sportsbook is celebrating with 40-1 odds on any Week 1 game. $200 on a $5 bet. Okay, this is no Hail Mary. It's that simple. New customers get 40-1 odds when you place your first wager on any team to win. FanDuel is sports betting made simple. The app's so easy to use. I've got the app. Download it. Takes a minute. Plus, when you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. I like, by the way, Dallas plus 7.5 Thursday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're watching so many teams struggle offensively in their first game. I like the under on that game, and I'll take Dallas plus 7.5. That's a massive number. They won't get embarrassed. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
See for yourself why FanDuel's America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up. The promo code's Colin. Win $200 on a $5 bet. Promo code Colin. C-O-L-I-N. Think about that. Exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, Virginia, and West Virginia. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See all terms at sportsbookfanduel.com. Gaming problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, or Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform I love to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business, so upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. I love Shopify. Have for years the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed from down the street to around the globe. Shopify is more than a store. Connect with your customers, drive sales, manage your day-to-day, reach customers online with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Pinterest, and more. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. Go to shopify.com/Colin, all lowercase, shopify.com/Colin for a free 14-day trial, full access at Shopify's entire suite of features. Shopify.com/COLIN.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder. And our family bonds grow too, because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council. Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I want to shift. I'll come back to USC later, but I want to shift to the Big Ten. When I watched your game with Minnesota, Buckeyes, Minnesota, my takeaway was that's a lot harder than people think. It's on the road. College doesn't have a preseason. You've got C.J. Stroud's a kid. A lot of teams would have lost that game. A lot of teams. Ohio State, really uneven in the first half. Then, like a great program, they kind of just speed kicks in, couple of playmakers, a busted coverage, you look up and it's over. So let's talk second place in the Big Ten. Penn State, for whatever reasons, they've had Wisconsin's number. And I'm looking there, and I had Penn State losing. It was a 5.5-point line. I didn't think they'd win there. James Franklin is – I always hear this about James Franklin. Good presence, great guy, can recruit, X's and O's, eh. But I got to tell you, he beats a lot of staffs where I hear how great the coaches are. And I look up today, and I'm like, I don't trust Michigan, number two spot in that conference. Is Penn State the second best team in the Big Ten?
I think they made a great argument yesterday. In fairness to Wisconsin, Wisconsin was three snaps away from winning that game by two touchdowns, right? So if you just look at the bulk of the game, they snapped the ball 95 times. Their defense was fierce, in particular in the first half. Penn State's offensive staff did not adjust for a long time in that game. It kept trying the interior and didn't get to the outside until that third quarter and really even late into the third quarter. You know, if you capitalize on a few drives early, we're sitting in, for example, I'm sitting up there in the booth and I'm talking with Gus at halftime. And I'm like, this game, I told him, I was like, listen, Penn State's probably going to win because this game should absolutely at a minimum be 10-0 Wisconsin right
yep.
now. The way that the whole first half is going, it's 0-0. That usually means to me they'll end up losing somehow because they have, you know, thrown away some good opportunities. And then even late in the game, first and goal from the one in 6-point deficit with 2 minutes left, and they lost the game. That's insane.
It's insane.
Like, he fumbled a snap. He overthrew, Graham Mertz overthrows a guy on the second to last play of the entire game. That should be a touchdown. So Wisconsin played well enough to win, but they didn't. And that's the credit that you give to Penn State. I think that Penn State has to figure out some things running the football. They could not run the ball. And we will see whether that's just great Wisconsin D or is there some sort of inherent struggle with this Mike Yurcich offense on the Penn State side. The one thing I do know about Penn State, though, that defense in particular, Colin, the linebackers and secondary play is excellent. And their coordinator, Brent Pry, is excellent. And this is one thing that you just kind of touched on briefly. I think James is best, and this might be a kind of a obvious point. When he has strong coordinators, his programs really take off. When he had Joe Moorhead as an offensive coordinator,
and
you know, they were Big Ten champions, and people really respect Brent Pry. And so I think a lot of pressure, to be honest, is on Mike Yurcich and this offense. So Mike Yurcich and Sean Clifford have got to deliver. And if they can, then they can be pretty good. And then to answer more specifically your question, I think the team, and I know you're going to love this, it's the fake idea college.
I know.
Football.
Iowa look great.
Iowa is really good. And they were really good last year and dominant, but they lost early in the season, so we all forgot about them. And that's a really good program. I think Iowa, as it stands today, is the second best team in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they go to Iowa State this weekend. And, you know, that's obviously an excellent rivalry now with the emergence of the Cyclones, but Iowa is favored.
Are they still the fake ID?
Here's the thing. They just had their 21st birthday, so they got a new ID. It's legitimate. They were fake until like this weekend.
Oh, that's great. That's funny.
So my daughter's turning 21 in a couple days. So she, you know, she's gone from fake ID to ID here real quick.
You understand.
Yeah. It's interesting. I watched Georgia Clemson. And a couple California kids. JT Daniels plays a little like Drew Locke to me. Doesn't play with a ton of urgency. Don't always love his body language. He's got a great little lively arm.
Yeah.
But I watched Clemson, and I thought, you know, this is the Joe Burrow thing. No Trevor Lawrence. Like, you know what's interesting about Clemson? As great as they are, they don't have top five recruiting classes. This is about a great staff, and they've had insane quarterback play and receiver play, but they don't recruit like Alabama. They don't recruit like Ohio State. They don't recruit like LSU. And I watched them yesterday.
Or Georgia.
No, they don't. And I watched them yesterday and I'm like, let's be honest here. For 6 years, We've had Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson. It's like, you know, that's pretty high stuff. Is it possible that they're going to have a major pullback here? Because they couldn't move the ball. I mean, the front seven for Georgia totally controlled the game. And I didn't see a lot of separation with any of Clemson receivers from that secondary for Georgia.
I'm not going to do it. And here's the reason. I think that their offensive line is a struggle this year. I think that that's real, and that they may struggle offensively quite a bit. I think trying to replace not only Trevor Lawrence, but ETN, you know, it's been a while that he's been there dominating at the running back position. And Colin, I think I brought this up last year. They used him in so many different ways a year ago. Like, just for instance, I remember I was charting, watching the film when they played Miami in their game last year, and they threw ETN eight different screen passes in the first half alone, right? That's aside from just giving him the ball, just to show you, like, when they got into any sort of a big game, man, he was the ticket.
Yeah.
So when he leaves that offense, that's a big issue. Their offensive line, I think, is, like I said, is a struggle. Now, having said that, while they're not battling for the top spot in recruiting, they are still very
formidable,
competitive, formidable. And here's the evidence. When I go, I think that the most important chart within a season in college football is I go to the 24/7 sports site, I go to the NCAA football, and I say composite rankings. I want to know what your roster is as a whole. Okay, so that's going to take every player on your team of what were they when they were recruited. The only thing that this is not good for is like the programs that can develop well, and they'll take a 3 and a low 4 and develop them. But this is just the most talented rosters in the country as it relates to where they were recruited. Clemson's fourth in the country in the composite this season. Okay, they've got 10 5-star players. They've got 41 4-star players. That's way more than LSU, Oklahoma, Florida, A&M, Oregon, USC, Texas, Notre Dame. Like, they've got the roster. The problem is they played a team that's higher than them. Georgia's number two. They've got 19 5-star kids, 47 of them on the 4-star.
Oh boy, so you a lot of those team on defense.
Lots of them, man. I'd say those linebackers, oh, they were flying, weren't they?
God.
It was impressive. So I think what you saw is similar to what you saw last year when Ohio State all of a sudden ran up against Alabama. It's a really great program that ran up to a program that was just at a different level that year. I think Georgia is at just a little bit different level this year. But having said that, Georgia's going to have to figure out some things on the offensive side. And I think you saw, listen, Clemson's defense was insanely good.
Yeah.
You know, their defensive front seven is loaded, but they're going to struggle on the offensive line most of the year. Here's the other problem. Okay, so we saw Clemson's weakness. Who in the ACC is threatening Clemson, even with that weakness that we saw?
Well, I would say Notre Dame plays 5 games in the ACC. That's the closest matchup to me because their offensive line keeps them in every game. Their offensive line has given Georgia, they've gone toe-to-toe with Georgia 2 of the last times they've met, and those games were really competitive games. Notre Dame's O-line, they're not going to beat
it. But they don't play Clemson.
I know.
This year.
I know. But that's the only thing. Like, when I watch Notre Dame and Clemson, I see NFL people up front, especially on Notre Dame's offensive line. If you can't block Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State defensive lines, you can't beat them. I remember Pete Carroll telling me this one time. He went 4-0 against the SEC, and he goes, the key is we can block their fronts. We got 4 NFL guys. He goes, Washington with Don James would have 4 NFL guys and an NFL tight end. We could block their fronts. Out west, that's our problem. We cannot block an SEC front or an Ohio State front. We don't have the bodies. Our receivers and quarterbacks and corners and we're fine there. But when I look at Notre Dame and they play, we're going to release this podcast before they play. But when I watch Notre Dame, and let's pivot to that, I think what Brian Kelly figured out, and you told me this, he figured out about 2 years ago, listen, this is not a track meet. We can't run. We're not going to run with some of these schools, but we can get in their kitchen. And I got to tell you something. When I watch Notre Dame play, take Alabama out, I think they match up with everybody. I think they'll beat Florida State tonight. I think they match up with everybody, Joe. That's my opinion.
So I have this theory, and I'm sure some of, you know, I think the Notre Dame people might not love it because they've got such a rich history, which they do. There's no doubt. I have this theory that only one of the, like, really, really tough academic institutions can be great at a time. Right?
Interesting.
Maybe I'm totally wrong, but, you know, I think it's really difficult for Stanford and Notre Dame to both be great because they have to get the exact same player.
Interesting. By the way, and we've seen an ascension for Notre Dame last 3 to 4 years and an erosion at Stanford.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly what I was getting to, is the fact that this Notre Dame, while not identical to what Stanford was doing, it is similar in that when Stanford was really good under Harbaugh and Shaw, they could bully everybody up front. They could run the ball on anybody. They would have a good back. They could play, you know, tough and stout on defense. They could have a few guys here and there that could run. You know, they didn't have to have a whole stable of guys that could run all over the place. They would have really good tight ends, but it was just a factory.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HEARD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Of NFL offensive linemen, NFL offensive linemen, NFL offensive linemen. Now Stanford doesn't have that. They're pitching the ball around, got absolutely hammered by Kansas State. All those players are back at Notre Dame now. It's an NFL offensive lineman factory. When I talk with scouts and executives when I'm in draft mode in the spring, they say, you go to Notre Dame and it's just different in their offensive line room. The way that they coach them, the way that they develop them, these guys are surefire players in the NFL because they come from Notre Dame. And to a large degree, I think that's what he kind of figured out. And I don't know if he figured it out as much as it just took a little time to develop to that point. And then now here they are. And they've got enough on the outside where they're a really good team. I think Notre Dame's better than people think. I think Cone, as weird as this might sound, maybe a touch of an upgrade over Ian Book.
I think in arm strength,
The last full season we saw Jack Cone, he was the Big Ten's leading efficiency quarterback. He's not a slouch. And so, like, this could be a year where I think Notre Dame actually exceeds that expectations. I certainly think that they'll threaten and potentially win 10 games again.
Yeah, I do too. Notre Dame is a topic of many of my discussions.
What do you think about that? Do you think Stanford and Notre Dame can be great at the same time?
Well,
I just don't. I don't think there's enough great students that are also great football players.
Well, also,
I might be totally wrong.
Northwestern's going to peel off some. So then you've got three, because Northwestern's a bowl program. So Stanford, mm-hmm. Northwestern, and Notre Dame, it's just simply more difficult, not only academically, but socially, the workload that Notre Dame, Stanford, and Northwestern ask of their student athletes. It's just harder. And I think there's probably in the country probably about 20 to 25 really blue chip kids that can handle that workload. This is not a shot at other fine institutions. Wisconsin's a great academic power. But I do think Stanford, I mean, I know multiple guys who have played at Notre Dame, a dozen, and they're like, man, like the workload is no bullshit. This is a real workload.
Right.
Like you not only, you have to go to class, and it's hard if you go to class. And so I think I'm Mr. Theory. I got a theory on everything. I'd never thought about that. I think it's one of your gems. I'm not going to lie.
Ah, nice.
I like
it. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay,
if you love to be remembered as the person who gives the best birthday gifts, I'm here to tell you that 1-800-Flowers.com is your ultimate birthday gifting destination. 1-800-Flowers has thoughtful and artfully created options that are guaranteed to deliver the best birthday surprise. Shop thousands of unique gifts at 1-800-Flowers.com for exclusive offers and great values. To order today, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
I want to talk about the games that I watched. So I watched Georgia-Clemson. I watched Alabama-Miami. Yep. I watched UCLA-LSU. Yep. I watched Ohio State. I watched USC. And I'm always very critical when a coach's side of the ball struggles. Clay Helton's an offensive guy. For 6 years, they can't run on first and second down. They right. don't use the tight end. They become insanely one receiver dominant. Drake London had like 13 catches, I think. And I don't think outside of the bubble screen, they have run two screens in a game in Clay Helton's tenure. And the defensive side with Todd Orlando, the former Texas coach, is fine. He's an aggressive coach. They run around. In fact, Dante Williams, who they got from Oregon, has really upgraded the secondary talent. USC's corners are really nice players, Sunday players. But I look at that offense, Joel, 6 years. They can't run the football. And I talked to a friend in the Pac-12. He said, you run the air raid. What elite offensive lineman wants to go block for the air raid? Is it just that simple?
No, and it's a pretty pure air raid. You know, there are so many different spinoffs, and I call it like, I don't know what the analogy is, but like this is a pure form of air raid, as about as close to leech as you can get. And that offense, as successful as Mike has been, he still never won a division championship. And the part of the problem is because there's no width to it. And I'm not talking about just like width as far as the field goes. Width is versatility might be a bigger or a better term. There's still an element of this sport where you've got to control the clock at times. You've got to win the line of scrimmage and control the edge on short yardage. You have to have that at least in your toolbox. And they just don't even care if it's in their toolbox or not. And I think it's really frustrating for fans. I was frustrated at it. I did back-to-back games last year. I did their opener against ASU. Then I did their second game against U of A. And I can remember, you do their first game and they struggled on short yardage because, Colin, let me get technical for a moment. They don't go under center, which is fine. Okay. There are teams that don't go under center even in the short yardage.
Yeah.
But the teams that don't go under center in the short yardage, they control the edge player, with a read or motion, or even someone that just comes and blocks them. When you just sit there and snap the ball and then hand it to a back and don't control the end man on the line of scrimmage, he's just going to crash down and make the tackle in the short yardage. So they don't read it with the quarterback. They don't do anything. It's why? Because they have no width to their run game. And again, I'm not talking about space. I'm just talking about they've got such few number of concepts and ability to do different things that they can't. It's not in their toolbox. And I finally kind of like lost it during the game against U of A. I was like, you can't do this. Like, this is insane. It seems, and I know this is a very hard knock against them, but they've got to be better than that as coaches, period. I asked them about it between the games and our coaches meetings. And I was like, well, have you thought about going under center? How do you want to control the edge? And they kind of were like, well, it's just, you know, it's not what we do. What do you mean? It's like a carpenter that doesn't have a measuring tape. Like, it's not what you do. You don't measure. I don't understand. So I know that that is a scathing review, but it's true. And it's one of the reasons why I think UCLA is going to be the better team in LA this year.
Oh, I totally agree.
Because they have more physicality and they have more ability. You know, if you take something away, that's their bread and butter to go in a different direction. If you take away their passing game at USC, they've got nothing else to lean on because they don't have the creative screens. They don't have the run game. And the evidence of that was last year's Pac-12 championship. Kayvon Thibodeau just wrecked their passing game and they couldn't beat him. And that was it.
Clay Helton's a nice guy, but he's a very limited coach. And yesterday, a prime example against San Jose State, the score is not indicative of the game. It was 13-7 late. Their defense That's bailed right. them out. That this basically tells you all you need to know about USC in the current state. They open the game passing to open up their running against San Jose State. They have so little confidence in their ability. They have 16 or 17 offensive linemen in the program. They do not have a single NFL prospect in their upper class group, junior, senior, not one. Andrew Voorhees is probably an undrafted free agent. They don't have any. So their best offensive linemen are like redshirt freshmen, Cortland Ford left tackle and Monheim at right tackle. I try to tell USC fans, they are okay in the weakest five-year stretch of the Pac-12 of my adult life, and they're still not dominating it. This is as bad as it gets. So it's like there have been times in my life when you had Terry Donahue and Don James and John Robinson. I mean, you had like Hall of Fame coaches. I could say six of these guys in this conference probably aren't going to last. So I just watched them yesterday and I thought it's rinse and repeat. I don't think you're harsh. Coaches tell you a lot by their opening series. You know, they tell you what they see on film. We can't run on San Jose State.
Well, and they tell you what they desire their identity to be. That's their entire offseason desire on tape, is their first series or two on offense or defense. This is who we think we are. This is who we want to be. That's what you get.
Okay, finally, you were very outspoken. The world agreed with you. If I got a parking ticket, I shouldn't get thrown in jail. It's a little too punitive for the action. Exactly. I'm watching 2 to 3 times every Saturday. Football, as you pointed out, it's fast. There's a regulated level of violence. I'm watching guys get thrown out of football games, this targeting. I just don't get it. There's no context to any of these penalties, right?
Not only that. So, yes, you're 1,000% right about the context, trying to measure intent. You know, is how I said it on the broadcast. And I know that it's impossible to measure or to view or to officiate intent. But part of the other problem with this is that this is the most punitive penalty in our sport. The only other thing that is as punitive is literally fist fighting on the field. Okay? Like, that's the only other thing that will just get you like an auto eject.
Yeah.
And the problem I have with it is, it is officiated as erratically as any call in the sport. You can put up two different clips and get everybody in the room disagreeing about both clips. Like, there's no consensus about even how to officiate it. So how in the world do we take something that is that erratic in its ability to be implemented and attach the most punitive action you can take against a player to that said penalty? That doesn't make any sense. That is insane to do. And the problem is that these commissioners have no appetite to change it or to try to roll it back towards something that is much more palatable for the college football fan, because they don't want to be seen as being weak on safety measures. Okay, but it's garbage. Let me tell you why. If they were really serious about player safety and not just protecting themselves from a legislative standpoint, or not legislative, from a litigation standpoint, then they would address the college game clock rules, in which we stop the clock all the time during the course of the game, which leads to a higher volume of overall snaps than in the NFL.
Yep.
Okay, so you're following me here. If you were really in the mold of saying you wanted to reduce the occurrence of head injuries or help with player safety, you would adopt the NFL game clock rules and you would limit the number of volume of snaps. And in some cases, you would limit it by about 100 for the season, which is basically an entire game. So this is what drives me nuts, is they sit there and like, we're so serious about player safety. No, you're not. No, you're not. All you're doing is protecting yourself from a litigation standpoint and a concussion standpoint. You're not doing that when it comes to the volume of snaps that players are having to say. You haven't even addressed the kickoff issue. The XFL at least tried to address the kickoff, and I thought had a much better rule than what's in football right now. So they won't look at that, but we're going to continue to eject players. Again, to sum this up, I am absolutely fine with both categories of targeting having a penalty thrown and a flag down. And I'm fine with awarding first downs and 15 yards. I'm even fine with having two levels of targeting, where if you can judge some sort of malice or intent in terms of using your head as a weapon, then you can eject. But the fact is that when we're having normal course of football plays end in an ejection of a football player, that's, like I said, that's egregious. It's a disgrace, and it needs to be changed.
All right, you got to go do your stuff. It's a holiday weekend. I never do these, but I was so giddy with all these games, I just couldn't control myself. And I'm like, okay, I got to talk about this stuff.
How about the scene at Wisconsin? I know there were several out there, and I thought there were a lot of great scenes. I know A&M, like Kyle Field was a great scene. But what we experienced, Gus and I and Jenny, at Camp Randall for Jump Around. Oh, I mean, I couldn't speak. And I just wanted to give a, you know, publicly, I know I did it on Twitter, our producer, Chuck McDonald, it was his idea. And thankfully, like everybody in our programming department was like, yeah, you know, we're going to come back early, figure out where to put those commercials elsewhere in the game so that we can cover, you know, Jump Around live, not on tape. Hey, this is what happened during the commercial live. What they were doing there, you were experiencing at home. And so Chuck, that was an amazing idea. Everybody at Fox said, yes, let's figure it out. Our director did an amazing job shooting it, bringing you into the stadium. And so Chuck McDonald, Rich Dewey did an amazing job. I just wanted to give them a huge shout out.
Let me tell you something. I got like emotional watching that. Like I was emotional. Yeah. I was sitting there like goosebumps and choked up watching it. Seriously, as a fan.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Same, right. Sitting in the booth as I was shaking.
Jenny's spinning down there on the
yeah,
fields.
How cool was that? Pure joy.
Good seeing you, man.
You as well. Have a good day, bud.
Get right to the romance and find the way to wow this Valentine's with 1-800-Flowers.com. From classic roses and bouquets to decadent chocolate-covered berries, gourmet treats, and more, surprise your Valentine with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, get the 18-stem Enchanted Rose Medley for $39.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.